Psalm 29, beginning with verse 1, we read, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He marketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon is Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. And in this temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." This psalm here is the almighty voice of Jehovah God. My question to you is, have you ever heard the voice of Jehovah? If you did, what would it sound like? You know, imagine a clear, balmy day until suddenly the clouds begin to form and thunder begins to roll. Suddenly you're in the middle of a great thunderstorm. That is the voice of Jehovah. That is the voice of Jehovah that David, the psalmist, describes. And so he has just witnessed this powerful storm. Or he's witnessing a great storm sweeping over the land. You know, have you ever been out in western Kansas or northwest Texas, where I grew up in North Texas, and looked out and the plains are all out there before you? Not a tree in sight, just a bunch of hills and nothing. And you see that mighty storm coming from the west. That great, powerful, mighty storm. And you can watch that thing for a long time out there on the prairie, out there on the plains. And so imagine this is like what you see in Israel, what the psalmist here is viewing. Standing up maybe in the high plains of around Jerusalem, looking out on this mighty storm. You know, this psalm has been called the Psalm of the Seven Thunders. The psalm pictures the voice of God as a boom after earth-shaking boom and the thunder of a storm. And so let's imagine ourselves in the presence of such a great storm, witnessing God's all-powerful voice speaking to us through his wonderful creation. As we look here at this psalm in verses 1 and 2, we have what you'd call a prelude, a call to recognize God's power. He addresses it. Notice here. He says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." You know, this psalm is addressed to ye mighty. That word there is two Hebrew words put together. Ben El, our sons of God, is what that means. Most people believe this refers to the angels of heaven. And so the angelic host, he's calling on them to give witness. He's calling on them to give honor and glory to God, to honor and recognize the strength of God, the power and the glory that is due unto his name. You think about the creator of this earth, this world, and you look at the great storm and you see that he is the force that has behind this, all of this, that makes all of that possible. All of the great power and majesty of a storm, God is over that. And so you see something like that, how can you not worship God? The glory due in his name. He says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." You know, worship means to bow down before him in the glory of his holiness, or in the beauty of holiness. Literally, this is in his glorious sanctuary. Bow down before God in his glorious sanctuary. And so this same phrase is also found in Psalm 96, also 1 Chronicles chapter 15, but Psalm 96 verses 8 and 9, written by David, After the ark has been finally brought into Jerusalem, he says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. And so we're to literally worship him. We're to bow down in his sanctuary. Bow down in his presence. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, or I am Jehovah your God, is that what that literally says. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, which sanctifieth you. And so he calls on all of creation to recognize and give honor and glory and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's like the song that we often sing, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All his angels, praise proclaim. All his hosts together, praise him. Sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye heaven of heavens and ye floods above the sky. All of us, we ought to bow down in front of the glory of God and worship God in the beauty of holiness. In verses 3 through 10, we have the storm, a demand to recognize God's power. Again, the language, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. You think about that. We've seen that what happens when a storm cuts loose and when it unleashes the full fury of nature. We've seen trees uprooted. We've seen houses blown off their foundations. And that's what David is picturing. And so the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. I just imagine that when I read that, the bolts of lightning and the forks of lightning across the sky, dividing the fire, the voice of the Lord. He maketh them also, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. And discovereth the forest, and the temple doth everyone speak of his glory. You think about that, have you ever heard a thunderbolt that goes off really close by? It's pretty loud. I've been out where was that? I think it was in one of the national parks. I can't remember when it was, but a thunderstorm came up, and we were kind of in a canyon, and that thunder boomed. And it rattled down that canyon. I mean, it made your teeth rattle. It was so loud. And so, if one were to ask, why should the Lord be worshipped? Why worship Jehovah? What does the Lord do in the world that calls for such adoration? David answers this question, both theologically, again, that we ought to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He calls on the angelic host to worship God. And also meteorologically. Thank you. The storm, is a beautiful thing. It's awe-inspiring to view. At least from afar. Who can stand and watch a mighty storm pass without at least in some sense reveling in the powerful force created by Almighty God? Who can hear the awesome thunder and not reflect upon the majesty of Jehovah? Who can observe the aftermath of a racking storm and see the uprooted trees and swath of storm damage and not have a godly fear of our majestic Creator? Who can witness the violent beauty of the forked lightning and not see the face of God and quake with glory, with His glory? You know, the Lord's voice reverberates through the valleys and canyons, and the ground trembles at his sound. You know, it's hard not to imagine, you know, again, as I talked about, seeing the storm coming across there, it looked like the fist of God way out in the distance, and an hour or two later, it comes down on top of you. You know, it's hard to ignore that, or it's hard to not imagine that we're seeing the throne of God as we behold that mighty thunderstorm in the distance. You know, I've yet to see someone ignore God's voice in a powerful thunderstorm. Yet countless numbers of men ignore and even blaspheme God's voice speaking to them, directly to them, in the verbal, plenary, inspired word of God. And no one will fail to recognize the power of God, the majesty of God in the storm. But so many people ignore and speak against the beauty and the magnificence we see of God in his word. And then in Psalm 29 and verse 11, we have a conclusion. The reward for recognizing God's power. It says here, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. You know, the same power which God displays through the storm will protect and sustain his children at all times. You know, God took care of the Israelites' every need as long as they followed him. Remember all of the promises that he gave them, that they would go and dwell and live in a land flowing with milk and honey, and they would be there until forever. That would be their land. They would never be cast out unless they failed to follow his instructions. If they turned away from him, they'd be cast out of that land. And we see that in the history of Israel repeatedly. But he took care of their needs as long as they followed him. Remember, the wilderness wandering period for 40 years, their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. Nothing they had wore out. Their flocks, their herds, they continued to grow and thrive. They had plenty of food. They had plenty of water. God gave them everything they needed. The same God that has the power of that storm is the same God that makes the promise that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so, some applications that we can make here. Now, I apologize if this sermon ends up being a little bit short. I didn't hear any laughter, but but we have a call to recognize God's power. You know, we're called to recognize God's power through his word. You know, Paul recognized it in Romans 1:16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. You know, we're called to recognize God's power through his word. You know, in Romans chapter, through God's word, we are called to recognize God's power in nature. And Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse for the person that looks up at creation, that looks up at the powerful, mighty storm, and cannot recognize that there is a God that created that. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know, not everyone understands the English language, but everyone in the world, they hear that boom of thunder. They understand what that is. They understand what that means. They understand, look out, there might be lightning. And they take precautions. You know, we're called to recognize God's power even during times of struggle and difficulties. In James 1 and verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so we need to recognize God, his power, even in times of woe. You know, we have a demand to recognize God's power. God's giving demands recognition of his power. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We recognize his power. We recognize that he sent his Son to die for the whole world. God's guarding demands recognition of his power. In Psalm 121, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Let the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. You know, the Lord will preserve us. He will guard us. He will protect us, spiritually speaking. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18 says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember, this is the same chapter where he has already said, you know, the time is here. The time of my offering is at hand. He knows he's going to die. And yet he says, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. His body's going to die. God's going to deliver his soul from hell. Going to deliver his soul because he was faithful. Because he fought the good fight. He finished the course. He fought the good fight of faith. And so, again, God's guarding demands our recognition of his power. God's guarantee demands recognition of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9. He says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, we have a reward also for recognizing and obeying God's power. You know, we have a hold during the times of storm. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, here the Hebrews writer says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. We have an anchor. We are anchored in God. That is the reward of being faith, recognizing his power and being obedient to God, is we have an anchor that holds us during trials and suffering. You know, they're going to come in our life, but we're not going to be moved because we're anchored firm in God. You know, we have a hold during the storm. We also have a hush after the storm, during the storm sometimes. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, some people just simply cannot take calamity. Even when they do endure, they either blame God for their troubles or they simply never seem to recover from it. You know, I have a relative that was, as a young man, a teenager really, was in a bad car accident, hurt his back. He never really got over that. He still to this day has never really recovered from that physically or emotionally. And so it's been a tragedy for most of his life because of this, things that he should have overcome, but he just could not. Those who recognize and obey God's power, however, have a calm disposition that will allow them to endure any hardship that is encountered. You know, we have the hope of eternal deliverance also from all of life's storms. In John chapter 14, you know, here Jesus is with his disciples during the Last Supper. They're about to face the greatest storm of their life. The things that are going to happen later that night and the next day with Christ crucified, that's the greatest storm they're ever going to face in their lives. And he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, God's power is far greater than the powers that cause calamities in our life. Eternal deliverance is obtained in heaven. He has gone to prepare a place. He is coming again. And he will bring us to where he is, and so that we can be with him throughout eternity. You know, God speaks to man through both nature and through his word. Through both of these, God calls men to recognize his power, demands that men recognize his power, and rewards those that recognize his power and obey him. You know, man has no choice but to listen to God when he speaks through nature. You know, we all understand that language. We all understand when we see the tornado, when we hear the thunder, when we see the lightning. We all understand the power of God. But it's what he says through his word. You know, when God speaks through his word, man has free moral agency, allows him to choose to listen or to not listen. My question to you this evening is, what will you do when God speaks to you through his word? Will you obey him or will you reject him? You know, we obey him, we simply hear the word of God. The faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe the word of God. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. You recognize the power of God. You recognize the gospel message that Jesus died because of sin. We want to stop the sin. Confess his name and be baptized. Have your sins washed away. We urge you tonight, if you have not done so, to become a child of God. If you are here tonight and you have not been faithful, we urge you to come back. Tonight, if we can help you, you let us know as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.